bow down and say, you are awesome.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Oh, another. Yes, another. Oh, another. We say to worship you,
to worship you, we live to worship you.
This is our outcry today, to worship you,
to worship you, we live
to worship. Exalt you, God, for you've done for us. We praise you, Jesus. We give you worship. We thank you, Father. There is none like you, none like you.
Let us worship. Let's worship the
Holy,
Almighty
Lord. Holy, holy are you, Lord.
Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord.
worship him and cast down our crowns before him
in
attitude of submission and worship. Let's worship. Israel, Yahweh of Judah, Lord God of Israel, bless him. Confess that he's your God, he's your God forever, he's your refuge, he's your fortress, he's your savior, is your defender, is your deliverer, is your glory forever and ever. Lord, we worship you, the God of Israel. We exalt and magnify your holy name. You are my strength forever. You are my hope forever. You are my future forever. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, the Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the blessed and the only potentate, the only wise God, the immortal, the invisible God. Blessed, blessed be your holy name. We, your children, we present ourselves before you this morning, O God, to bless you, to hallow your name, to sanctify your name in the midst of your people, to declare that your name alone is glorious, your name alone is excellent, your name alone is wonderful, your name alone is incomparable, your name alone is holy. Glory, 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 glory be to your holy name. Be exalted, be magnified forever and ever. Lord God of Israel, we bless your name. The unchangeable changer, the cause of all causes. Blessed, blessed be your holy name. We exalt and worship your God, the helper of Israel, the only one of Israel. Blessed, blessed be your holy name. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we magnify your name. Lord, we praise you. May your name be praised and glorified forever and ever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mezeke Branda, Marebo Seprada Labako Roboske Panda Labrande, Ramande Rebo Posheke Legereba Kuprianda, Merimbroske Paka Rabba Loproske, Bere Branda, Rabolege Sheken Branda, Remon Remaka Zeken Remoko Sheken Remaka Shende, Raman Remoko Sheken Remaka Shende, Melende Lebran, Mele Branda, Maraman Remoko Sepranda Labako Roboske, Vebrada Labako Remanska, Melede Manke Remonske, Ega Rabako Priaga, Iprose Branda Labako Reboske, Panga Remanski, Melede Branda Labako Roboska, Malede Lebroske, Paka Ramanda Lebroske, Yege Reban Ramako Pri, Man Ramako Reboske, Poko Romanska, Pako Romanski. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Please accept our worship. Please accept our worship this morning, O God. Accept our thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Let's stand to our feet, please. Let's rise to our feet. As it is written in today's open heavens, we discover that David finds favor. 1 Samuel chapter 16. David finds favor. And so he was able to stand before kings. A boy from a poor background, when favor located him, he was able to stand before kings. The king said that, he called his father that, look, this guy has found favor before me. Let him stand. Let him come and stay in the palace. Today, I pray that this season, the favor of God will locate you.
Amen.
And set you among princes and kings.
Amen.
And remove every shame and reproach.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In 1 Kings chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 21, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. May it be said concerning you, God, you as well, that God loved you greatly.
Amen.
Amen.
And he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. May you find favor in the sight of the Almighty
Amen.
God today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
When favor located Moses, the hundreds of thousands of people, they cried to God that they were thirsty, they need drink. there is no food, that Moses need to do something. They were about to stone Moses. Moses cried to God, and Moses found favor before God. And God opened a way where there seems to be no way for him.
Amen.
This season, God will open ways to you.
Amen.
Where there seems to be no way.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we pray this prayer before we go to share briefly from the scripture. You will say, Father,
Father,
as your favor located David,
as your favor located David,
that he was promoted to the palace. As your favor located Joseph, that he was also promoted from prison to palace. This season, Father, this season, Father, I cry to you because you are not a partial God. Because you are the same yesterday, you are the same today, you are the same forever. Lord, let your favor as well locate me today in the name of Jesus. Let your favor locate me today. Let your favor locate me today. God of favor, God of Israel, let your favor locate me today. That this season, I will be promoted to a new job. I will be promoted to a new connection. I will be promoted to a new status concerning my immigration. That I will be promoted from minimum to maximum. I will be promoted from sorrow to joy. Oh, my Father, let your favor locate me. Let your favor locate me. That you will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. Let your favor locate me. That every reproach in my life will become a past tense. Suddenly, every reproach will be a past tense in my life. Suddenly, every poverty will give way to prosperity in my life. Suddenly, every poverty, trace of poverty will be gone from my life. Let your favor locate me. Your divine favor. If I know, and I know if I find favor before you, I will find favor before men. That your favor will cause me to experience uncommon connection. Uncommon connection to my destiny. Uncommon connection to the helpers of destiny. The Bible says, helpers of destiny came to David day by day, until the kingdom of Israel was turned to his hand. The helpers came to him day by day, until the kingdom becomes that of David. Father, let your favor locate me, O God. Until the divine connection comes to me day by day, until I enter into my destiny of prosperity, my destiny of fruitfulness, my destiny of fruitfulness, my destiny of joy, my destiny of attainment in life, of success in life, of victory, O God. Oh God, let your favor locate me, that will turn my failure to success. Let your favor locate me, that will change my status. Let your favor locate me, Almighty God. I cry unto you. You are not a partial God. God of Abraham, you are my God. God of David, you are my God. God of Joseph, you are my God. You remain the same. You change it not. Let your favor locate me as well. Let your favor locate me, O God. This season, let me encounter your favor. Lord, is it not written your word? In Psalm 5, verse 12. Psalm 5, verse 12, that thou, Lord, will indeed bless the righteous. You will compass him about with favor as with a shield. Let your favor locate me. This season, let your favor locate me. That I will begin to experience encounter increase. Enough of stagnation. Enough of stagnation. Enough of walking in vicious circle. Enough of walking in the same spot. Marking time. Let your favor locate me. Let your favor transport me to a new level, to a new height, a new position. Let your favor locate me, King of Glory. Let your favor locate me. That every reproach in my life will be gone. Will be gone within a twinkling of an eye. In the name of Jesus. Nesepra me reproske reproske pata liproske po rapalakaske pote. In the name of Jesus. Repoko shake it. Hey, Delebraska Pushki. Madame Broske Po. Yege Remandre Mokeske. Mala Broske. Ve Brada La Broske. Yes, my Father. Yes, my King. Glory be to your holy name. In the name of Jesus, may the favor of the Almighty God locate you. May this season, may His favor locate you. May He look down from heaven and make His favor to locate you where you are. May that favor transport you to a new position, a new position of life, a new position of joy and victory. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you this season sing a new song. In the name of Jesus, may the name of the Lord be glorified in your life and through your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. As we take our seat, please. So this morning we are continuing our series on revealing God's righteousness, revelation of God's righteousness. In the last study, we are introduced to what is righteousness, Christ as the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, and what righteous living entails, living like Christ. So today we will press forward and look and examine how do we live like Christ, and if possible, look at the rewards of righteousness. We say righteousness is a right standing with God, to do always what is right or good or just, honorable, in God's sight, to do that which is just, good, honorable, in God's sight, not in man's sight, but in God's sight. There is something that we do that will be right in man's sight, but will not be right in God's sight. So when we are talking about righteousness, we are talking about doing what is good, what is just, what is honorable, in God's sight, not in man's sight. For example, telling some lies to guess one's way through might be called being smart in man's perspective. But before God, God considers it as something that is wrong and sinful in His sight. In fact, when you look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, God said that liars will go to hell. Not only liars, those that lust and makes lies, they will go to hell. God said in His own standard, righteousness, lies is liars will go to hell. In man's sight, in these days, men with men, they feel that it's okay. But in God's sight, God said it's abomination. In today's contemporary young ladies, before they got married, they said, let us test drive ourselves and things like that. Before they got married, they feel it's right in man's sight. But God said it is sexual immorality in His sight. It is fornication in His sight. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you do some of these things, God said the penalty is death, instant death. But we are in the dispensation of grace. God still makes say, okay, let's keep him alive. Peradventure, he can change. God's righteousness be as long with people. God's mercy be along with people in the new dispensation. But in the eyes of God, you're a dead man. If you are living in sexual immorality, men after men, women after women, or young ones after each other, or married men after another man's wife. God said that those people, they are worthy of death. So if God is still keeping you alive, congratulations. It's so that you can repent. Hallelujah. So that there will be opportunity to repent. May we find repentance before it's too late in the name of Jesus. May we find forgiveness before it is too late in the mighty name of Jesus. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 3, the book of prophet Ezekiel chapter 3, God is sharing this thing with us so that, because he wants us to be a special people unto himself, he wants us to be an holy people unto himself, righteous people, people that are on their way to the kingdom, to heaven. Not just people that profess they know Jesus, and yet they are not heading to heaven. There are a lot of Christians these days that are professing Jesus, but they are not heading to heaven. But we here, we are heading to heaven. Amen. Let somebody say, I'm heading to heaven. So if we look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, but not speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Praise God. So God even goes to the extent that you have the responsibility to warn the wicked, to warn those that are doing such things. Some of us, we say it's political correctness to keep quiet on some of these things when we see them. It's not that you will warn them in a kind of accusing way or angry way, or which some we call only indignation, but in a gentle and a loving way, you have to warn the wicked. Because if you keep quiet, if you can't talk to them in your working place, in your office, there must be a way that you invite them to an appointment, a conversation, a dinner, or somewhere where you politely share the gospel and warn them that this is what God is saying. But peradventure it is right that the soul that sinners shall die, shall go to hell. Peradventure it is right. It means that you are going to eternal condemnation, damnation. And that's why you have to come out and unto God and embrace Jesus. Jesus can give the strength, the grace, the ability to live holy before God. Praise God. So we have to tell them these things. We have to let them know that what is right before God. Some people feel it is all right if you don't come to church on Sundays. But in the Old Testament, God said that you must keep the Sabbath day holy, holy unto the Lord. So what you do on the Sabbath day matters to God, on the holy day of the Lord. In the new dispensation, the disciples separated the first day of the week as a day holy unto the Lord. So they worship God, they gather to worship God and to do the work of God on Sundays, on holy days. God views it seriously for those that do not worship God on the holy day. In the Old Testament, it is one of the 10 cardinal commandments, major commandments, 10 of them, major ones that God said his people must take with all seriousness. He said, you must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So also the day of the Lord is very important. So it's not a child's play if you don't come to church on Sunday. Hallelujah. It's not a child's play if you don't preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this Ezekiel chapter 3 is now saying that if you fail to warn the wicked, verse 19, if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Verse 18 says now that if you don't want the wicked, I will require his blood from your hand. So that's a serious one. If we don't want the wicked, if you don't want your friend until he dies, so it's another level you are with God. You need special mercy of God. Hallelujah. So when we are talking about righteousness of God, it's different from the righteousness of man. It is different from the laws of the land. It's different from the laws of God, the kingdom laws. The laws of the land can allow some things, but God's law, the kingdom law, might not allow those practices. So that's why you need to know the laws of God, the commandment of God, his own instruction, so that you know that you live before God in righteousness. We also said that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Why? Because Christ is the word of God himself. We said when you live in righteousness, you live according to the word of God. Christ is the word of God himself. That's what John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us. That in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was Jesus Christ, when he came, he was the word himself. So everything that Jesus said, you just have to take it like that. It's the perfection of words. Every statement of Jesus are to be taken as God himself talking to us, because Jesus himself is God the Son. Is God manifested in the flesh. So when Paul the Apostle was talking to the Romans in Romans chapter 10 verse 4, he said, Christ is the end of the law. He said now that the children of Israel, the Jews, they go about their own righteousness, and they still go about it up to today. They still follow Judaistic religion. But they are off mark. God has left that place. God has brought the new dispensation, the New Testament in his blood, that by faith in his blood, you can be saved, you can be delivered. They still operated in the old dispensation, old laws. And that's what the apostle was saying. He said, my heart cries and desire for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, because they are still going about their own righteousness, which is of the law. But what he's saying now, the righteousness they should be bothered about is the righteousness that is of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And that's the righteousness we are following today. You are saved by grace, not by works. There is the blood of Jesus, the eternal blood, the living blood, that cleanses us from sin, that atones for our sins as believers. So we trust in that blood. And in the spirit realm, when people see, when those that can see to the spirit, or when demons, when devil, when angels see a believer, a real believer, they still see that blood running down your face, running down yourself. They don't see you. They see the blood of Jesus that covers you. And that blood presents you before God as holy, unblameable, unreprovable before God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. The blood presents you before God holy, unblameable, unreprovable. So one inference or one understanding from this is that if you're a child of God and you have confessed and forsaken your sins and you have trusted in the blood, you don't need to carry any further guilt. The blood has cleansed you from sin. Praise God. The blood has cleansed you. You don't need to carry any guilt. You might commit fornication yesterday, but if you say, Lord, I'm not doing it again, let the blood cleanse me. Today, you appear before God holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Your friends outside will say, that's a fornicator. But before God, God will say, this is a saint. Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. So once we submit to the righteousness which is of faith in Christ, in Romans chapter 4, the Bible describes this righteousness further. Romans chapter 4. It describes the righteousness that was imputed to Abraham, our father Abraham. Let's start from verse 4. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, as found concerning the flesh, to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Praise God. Verse 9, he said, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Amen. Faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Faith in God was accounted to him for righteousness, not because of his works. We know that Abraham committed some sins here and there, but because of his belief, his faith in God, that was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the father of faith. Amen. If you go further to chapter 5, verse 17 says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned, through the one much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Amen. So, God is making us righteous through our faith in Christ Jesus. So, we need to live the way Christ lived. In order for us to be righteous, we need to do the things that Jesus asked us to do so as to be righteous. We need to look unto Jesus for righteousness. Follow him. Follow his lifestyle. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 that those category of people are the people that are wise. Those that follow his lifestyle. Those that hear his sayings and do them. He said those that are the people that are wise in life. May you be wise in life in the name of Jesus. Now, how do we live like Christ? That's the crux of the matter. That's what we want to live briefly before we round up this morning. How do we live like Christ? Righteousness starts from the heart. It starts from the heart. If you look at Romans chapter 10 that we took during our Bible reading, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does he say? What does he say? The word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you are a believer in Christ. Amen. So righteousness starts from the heart. The heart must be addressed. The heart must be cleansed. The heart must be purified. The heart must be sanctified. You must believe God by faith. You must believe God in Christ. When you believe God by faith in Christ, Christ will come unto you. His spirit will come and dwell in you and give you the power to live righteous. When Jesus comes into your heart, the Bible says that all things will pass away from your life and all things will become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. And also, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 36 that he will give you a new heart and a new spirit. God will give you a new heart and a new spirit. How many believers in Christ are here? Okay, declare, I am a believer in Christ. And because I am a believer in Christ, I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. A heart that loves righteousness and hates iniquity. Say it again. A heart that loves righteousness and hates iniquity. Praise God. When you believe in Christ, the Spirit of Christ comes into your heart and does a surgical operation. Remove this wicked heart that wants to do evil and give you a new heart that wants to do good, that wants to do righteousness, that wants to follow the way of God. I will quickly read verse 26 unto you, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take this heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. Praise God. So if you are really a child of God, if you have really been born again, if you have really accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will discover that you find it hard to do evil, you find it easy to do good. When you want to do evil, you find it difficult as a child of God, because you have been given a new heart and a new spirit by God, which is the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. So if you are struggling with sin, you still find that you find it easy to commit sin, then you need to really be born again and genuinely accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. So it starts from belief from your heart and the confession of your faith with your mouth that you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture said, that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. You shall be saved from sin. You shall be set free. You shall be delivered. Hallelujah. So belief, so righteousness starts from the heart, and then it's manifested outwardly. A seed of righteousness is greater in your heart when you believe in Jesus Christ. And then you can build on that, number one, by continuing to renew your mind in the Word of God. Because it is your spirit man that was born again, your mind is still your mind, your body is still your body. But those mind can take on God's nature. As you renew it with the Word of God, your body can take on God's nature. As you renew it with the Word of God, and you direct it according to the course of the Word of God. And that's why when they are talking about holiness, that holiness must affect your outwardness. Holiness comes from within when you are born again, and it now manifests in your outward appearance, outward look, outward posture, outward comfort, outward confession. Praise God. So holiness is inward out. It's an experience that started from inward and manifested outward. So Romans chapter 12, therefore, tells us, verse 1 and 2, that you must renew yourself with the Word of God so that you can then be able to prove what is good, what is acceptable in the sight of God. Let me read it for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go further, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Let's say renew of your mind. By the Word of God, you renew your mind. That's why we encourage daily reading of the Word of God, so that you can renew your mind. When you get your mind renewed, the Bible says you will then be able to prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. Amen. So the last point is that can help us to live righteousness, to follow living like Christ, is when you fellowship constantly with the Holy Spirit. When you fellowship constantly with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, when it comes upon you, when it's overwhelming your life, when it's controlling you, will make it easy for you to live righteously. Because it's the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit of truth, John 16:13. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of comfort. You know, it's the spirit of power. So he stands by God's people. John chapter 14, 16 to 18 says he's our standby. Apart from being the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is your standby. He stands by you, helping you, guiding you in the right way to life, in the right way to living, in the right way to righteousness. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, we want to end there. Probably we'll be sharing the rewards in another session because of time. I want you to talk briefly to God and pray that, Lord, renew the seed of Christ in me, renew the seed of righteousness in me, in the name of Jesus, so that righteousness can be easy for me. Purify my heart, Lord. Every form of unrighteousness in me, every seed of unrighteousness, every seed of sin, I reject it, O God. And I ask that they be uprooted from my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Purge me, O God, of every sin, of every unrighteousness. If you have not given your life to Jesus, or you find that you are still struggling with sin, ask the Lord to have mercy, to forgive you. Invite Jesus to come into your life, to be your Lord and Savior, so that God can put in you His Spirit, the Spirit of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power. The Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over me. I am no longer under the law, but under grace. It will release the power to have dominion over sin. Ask the mighty Holy Spirit to come afresh upon you. And ask God to help you to be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit and to fellowship constantly with the mighty Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of truth, with the Spirit of power, with the Spirit of guide, the Spirit that can guide you in the way of righteousness, with the great Comforter. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. May God's righteousness be revealed in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. May we begin to live a life that is glorifying to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And may we begin to rule and reign in life through righteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. So we want to pray for people before, briefly, the minister will lay hands. If you know that you need prayers, choir, can we quickly come up? For 5 minutes, we want to quickly pray for people who need prayers. If you know you want ministers to agree briefly with you, today is Holy Ghost service. We normally pray for people. Let's stand to our feet, please, as we worship God. If you know you have one sickness or the other, is it a fever that is on in the air now? So, whatever be the sickness, the Holy Spirit is here to remove them. You want God to remove any pain?
Fall on me, anointing. Let a power of the Holy Ghost fall
be healed in the name of Jesus.
Anointing,
be healed in the name of Jesus.
Fall on me. Anointing,
be healed in the name of Jesus.
Anointing, fall on me. Anointing,
be healed in the name of Jesus.
Let it fall on me. Let the power of the Holy
be healed in the name
God
of Jesus.
Let it fall on me, anointing.
Be healed in the name of Jesus.
On me. another.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, another. Oh, another.
God, if you believe that God has done something new in your life today, I want you to shout hallelujah with us. I want you to tell your neighbor, God has done something for me, and I will testify about it.